toxic positivity, toxic masculinity, all these terms. Some of them I don't really disagree with, but like what I've become really aware of, I know it kind of started this really weird, but like what I've really become aware of is that this phrase isn't actually useful or as good as you think it is. Because what I've often found is that people use this phrase dogmatically. They use it to affirm themselves. They use it to affirm their story, their worldview, their point of view. And rather than understanding somebody, and they did this with other phrases, well, which we're going to do, but rather than understanding this person, or rather than understanding this so-called toxicity, they just call it toxic. Oh, this is just toxic behavior, and this is not good. But what I want to explain to you is that, not always, but most of the time when I hear people use this phrase, I think, most of the time when people use this phrase, they use it in this way. Same thing is done with like the phrase of like narcissist. Like, oh, here's how to deal with a narcissist. A narcissist is bad. A narcissist is not saying they're good, but like there's like this rabbit hole people fall into about narcissists. And now it's toxicity. Like, oh, he's just a toxic masculine person. He's toxically masculine. And now the counter culture to that is toxic femininity. All this crap. It's like, what it's really doing is affirming you at the expense of understanding this person, understanding this behavior, understanding whatever it is. Which doesn't really help you. Another phrase that kind of does this is the phrase cult. The word cult often is used in the same way. The word evil, the word bad, the word stupid. The word ignorant can sometimes do that as well. You know, different words like this. Do this, where they, like, basically what is happening when you're using words like this, especially in certain ways, what you're basically doing is you're furthering your own separation from the world. Decreasing your own understanding of the world. Decreasing the understanding you could have about this person. And you're probably sitting there telling me right, like, but I don't want to understand this person. Exactly. That's exactly the problem. And that's why you're in this situation. The less you understand of this person or any situation or behavior or whatever, the less you actually see what you're doing to... The less that you understand this, basically, the more you will do this basic thing that we're talking about. And it's really bad, honestly. It's really not good for anyone to do this to themselves, because it blocks understanding, it blocks compassion, it blocks true openness, radical open-mindedness, which is really necessary if you want to overcome anger, overcome being offended at everything, also overcome being offensive about everything as well. Because there's both sides of this. When you're overly offended, you're doing this. When it comes to the worldviews that you think are offensive. But if you're overly offensive, you're doing this to separate yourself from understanding of the worldviews that you are offensive about and mean about or whatever that is, right? These are the basic two imbalances. I'm not saying that being offended is wrong necessarily. It depends on how you're doing this and how often you're offensive or how often you're offended. Same thing with offensive. Sometimes you can see a fence where there is none, but that's a different story. That's part of the same problem, but, you know, that's really why I really don't like this phrase, this word, toxicity. Oh, he's just a toxic person. You know, toxic masculinity is bad and all this other stuff. It's like, this doesn't really help you understand this. It doesn't really even help you to get a grasp on what this is. All it really does is affirm your own worldview at the expense of others. At the expense of other worldviews and other people. Both. And so, while I can agree that some worldviews are not as useful, as inclusive and whatnot as others, doing this is also guilty of doing that same thing. Not being inclusive, not being useful. Actually, that's one of the problems with this term that's been used lately, inclusivity. We need to become more inclusive, but often those very same inclusive seeming people are exclusive. They're not inclusive towards things that they don't want to understand, because if they did understand it, maybe they would start to see shades of gray rather than just black and white, right? And I've wanted to do an episode about this whole idea of there is only shades of gray, there's no such thing as black and white, but that's a deep episode. It's actually really sad too, because the whole point of postmodernism was to show people that there was only shades of gray, and that this whole idea of like black or white, like good and bad and all this stuff is just something that you constructed. It's not necessarily real in reality kind of thing. But because people didn't completely go all the way with it, they don't quite see that, because they're stuck within their own worldview, and they're affirming their own worldview at the expense and cost of themselves and others. You know, because if you're really trying to help people become, if you're really interested in making sure that the world is less offensive, the world is more inclusive and more compassionate or whatever, what really works, right? Does anger work? The shouting at this person that you disagree with work? The saying that they're a toxic male work? The answer is no, it doesn't work. It doesn't. It doesn't work at all. And as a matter of fact, I would argue that the more that you do this, the more you cut yourself off from the world. And the more you cut yourself off the world from the world, the less understanding you have of the world. And of why these so-called petitions exist, and what makes people believe so strongly in these kinds of positions. Of course, this is such a radical point. Like, it's so funny to me, like, how people say that, like, oh, these people on the far left are radicals, and the ones on the far right are radicals. They're not radicals at all. In a lot of ways, they're very typical of how the mind works. What's truly radical is to do what I'm suggesting to do. That's radical. You know, but being stuck in the postmodernist far left is not actually that radical. It's very, what I'd call very typical. It's radical in the sense of, like, it doesn't agree with the sort of center left or center right worldview. It's radical in content, but in structure, it's very much the same as everybody else. Very much the same as the far right in some ways. There's this theory called the horseshoe theory, which is related to this, which goes like, the more far left you are, the closer to you that you are to the far right, but the further you are from the center at the same time. I don't completely disagree with this, but I don't completely agree with it either, because while there is some structural truth to this, and content is very not true, but there is definitely some structural truth to this, which is hard to see if you're stuck in content, if you're stuck in just affirming your worldview at the cost of others, at the cost of understanding, truly understanding the world, which is what most people are doing right now. The far left is doing this. The far right is doing this. The center is doing this. This is the entire spectrum right here. Does this. Some, if you're more center left or center right, you may not be doing this as much, or maybe not at all in some ways, but you are. The more you get into the extremes, far left, far right, whatever, is the more you do this. And that's probably a good way of measuring if you're extreme or not. Are you affirming your worldview in this way at the cost of others? And so what do I mean by this? When you're using words like toxicity, or toxic, or this is a cult, or this is stupid, or whatever, what do I mean by this is affirming your worldview at the cost of others? So when you're using these words, these phrases, what is it really telling you? It's telling you exactly what you already know. What does it mean if you are agreeing with this phrase of toxic masculinity? It's already showing you what you already know. It's confirmation bias to the actual degree. Confirmation bias is one of the most common and trickiest biases actually to deal with. And in fact, I'd almost argue that confirmation bias is probably the first bias that started all the other biases. But that's a deeper radical position for another episode. But you're affirming your worldview. But when you are doing this, you're doing it at the cost of understanding other people's worldviews. You're doing it at the cost of understanding reality. You're doing it at the cost of understanding why this exists. Because you're judging it, you're demonizing it, rather than trying to see it in its holistic view. You know, there's this really interesting episode. It's what is it called? I think it's called like The Causes of Anger Part 2, Understanding Evil to Death. You can just search it on YouTube. You can just search for Understanding Evil to Death. You'll find it. And it talks about like the real true causes of anger are that you basically have divided your world. You partitioned reality. There's you, the things you want, and the things that get in the way of what you want. The anger that happens, right? And so somebody violates this partition that you set up. And so this is basically what I'm talking about in a nutshell. But in a more specific kind of way here, with words like toxicity. Oh, he's just a narcissist. Or he's just in a cult. Oh, this is becoming the big phrase now. They're in a cult. You know, the left is the cult. The right is in a cult. You know, all this stuff. It's like, no, there's legitimate reasons for believing what they believe. I'm not saying I agree with everything they believe, but I attempt to understand what they're saying and why they feel what they believe, why they believe what they believe, what's really causing this. Because, like I've said before, and I will always say this, and I will always be the one to tell you this, all worldviews, point of views, whatever, have some kind of kernel of truth or seeming truth within them. And the example I always give is the flat earth theory. Why is it that people believe in flat earth? Because it feels flat. Like when you're walking around on the earth, there's no curbs. You don't feel any curbs because the curbs are like really subtle or whatever, right? And so it seems as if the earth is flat in that way. And so, but because you aren't seeing that, because you aren't willing even to see this, you are partitioning reality into what you want things to be versus what is. What you think things should be like, what you think people should be like versus what people really are like. Things like this. And this is why imperfection exists. This is, in a nutshell, why imperfection is real. I've talked about this myth of perfection before. The three basic things involved, right? Everything is finite, everything is connected, and time or more info will debunk any sort of semblance of perfection that you once saw, right? Those are the basic three things. Four things, perhaps. But, and so, phrases and words like this, like toxic or narcissist or just evil or whatever, aren't really helping you at all. You know, because they don't help you become calmer. They don't help you become more able to deal with the world. As a matter of fact, the more that you do this, the more you label the world like this, the less you can deal with the world. And the more triggered by the world you become. And so the counterintuitive move is to not partition yourself from the world by not using phrases like this and by actually trying to understand what you formerly labeled as bad or as toxic or whatever. And then steel man that, right? There's basically two things that you're doing, right? When you're affirming your worldview at the cost of others, you're strawmanning. You're saying, oh, this is stupid because you're saying all this, right? This is really dumb. But when you're attempting to understand the world, no matter what, you steel man, which is basically try to make the most charitable argument possible. About what you would have normally been against. Try to find a way of doing this, right? Once you can start to understand, you start to see that all these labels that you have are limiting you into a box. The more that you have all these labels, the more labels like this you have, the more you limit yourself, the more you're in a box. And this box can start to get smaller and smaller and smaller until you are the only thing in the box. Or you and a certain amount of people are only in this box. And you can't, and you will not allow other people in this box. Now, I'm not saying at all, by the way, that you should allow abusers to abuse you or anything like this. I'm saying something more fundamental, which is if you judge the abuser, if you affirm your worldview about the abuser over the abusers, you will not understand the abuser and you will not understand why abuse happens. It doesn't mean that you will agree with abusing people or abuse in general, but you will understand it, which takes the rage out of it, takes the attachment, takes the resistance towards this thing away, which helps you actually deal with it a lot better. You're more capable of dealing with it. You're more able to deal with this. But first, you have to stop affirming your worldview at the cost of understanding the world, at the cost of other people, at the cost of other worldviews, whatever it is. So, Hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you in the next one. So the basic way to end this episode, I think, is to give you a technique that was from this episode. I will link it in the description, too, as well, if you want to see it. Link it in the show notes. Basically, the technique is asking this question. What am I failing to understand here? Or there, or whatever. You know, what am I failing to understand here? What am I failing to understand here? Because when you ask this question, you have to start to, like, look with your awareness at what's really happening. You know, what am I failing to understand here? You start to sort of go beyond your worldview, your current affirmation of what you think is true, what you think should happen, what you think shouldn't happen, to what really is by doing this. And that's really the solution to this question, to this problem, is to ask this kind of question. What am I failing to understand here? So anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you in the next episode. I will link this episode, True Causes of Anger, Part 2, Understanding Evil to Death, because it is very important to what we're talking about here, if you want to dive deeper, and I will talk to you in the next one.